So if you guys would welcome with me my buddy John Almquist. Come on out, John.
What's going on, y'all? Morning. Well, y'all, I'm excited to be with you guys today. As Harrison shared, it's my privilege jumping in with y'all. My name's John. Right now, we're working through the Illusion series. So last week, Harrison, he talked to you guys about, hey, what does it look like to cover up, to almost work in life to try and trick others? It's a front. It's just an illusion. Today, we're going to talk about almost the reverse of that, and we're going to talk about not, hey, how do we try to trick others, but how do we try to trick ourselves? How do we do that? What does that look like? But first thing we're going to do, I'm going to start with a little story, be a little vulnerable. So I'm going to ask you guys, you help me, okay? So everybody kind of lean in. Who here knows, thank you, he literally leaned in. Who here knows what a voice crack is? Right? All right. Hey, yeah, Sean actually modeled this for us earlier. Hey, what is a voice crack right here? Why don't you tell me, man? Shoots up, right? So what he was just sharing there, in the middle of having a conversation, all of a sudden you're talking, but then just out of nowhere, your voice gets really high, and then it comes back down low, right? That's a voice crack. If it hadn't happened to you, you're welcome. That's a gift from God. One of those for me, right about the time I was y'all's age, my voice cracked all the time. So much so, school I went to, I ended up getting the wonderful, loved it, nickname, Squeaky. Right? So here's what that would look like. You'd just be having a conversation, all of a sudden, your voice would jump, and that always try to like talk real low and be very macho. Right? And so I'm sure no one here does this, but in middle school, I'd have a girl call my house, my mom, she'd answer the phone, John! That's not what my mom sounds like. It's my best guess. John, Susie's on the phone. Okay, Mom. Hey, Susie, what's up? Right? All of a sudden, my voice would go an octave lower. Here's the whole reason for that, though. Right? One, I was trying to impress Susie. Two, I was just embarrassed about my voice. You see, there was something inside of me that I was trying to hide. There was something inside of me I kind of wanted to manage around, to change. And maybe not even that serious, but it was something I didn't want people to know about me, so I tried to change it, right? I tried to, as we'll come to say, try to cope with that. Here's what's crazy. My voice, one, still cracks, does the same thing just like Sean's. It'll still do that, may do it today. But today, I don't necessarily try to manage, change, or cope the same way I used to with voice cracks, but I totally do it in other ways. There are things in my life that I feel either insecure about, nervous, anxious, stressed around, and I try to change things in a way where people see me in a different light. And if I were to guess, you guys feel that too, right? Like perhaps for you, it may not be a voice crack, but it's like, hey, there's people at school who I'd really like to be friends with them, but they don't want to be friends with me. And so how do I change? How do I wear different things? How do I act different things? How do I like different things in order that, hey, perhaps they might like me a little more? Right, my parents, I can really frustrate my parents. So how can I just change, shift, cope, not in a healthy way, but an unhealthy way in order to help them? And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how life has troubles, man. People, they have insecurities, they have problems, they have baggage. You do and I do. And we're just going to talk about how Jesus Christ, he doesn't want you to cope with your problems, but instead, he wants you to cling with his promises. All right, so first, what do I mean by coping? All right, I'm just going to give you guys a simple, straightforward definition. Coping is any time you either try to reduce or remove stress, anxiety. So think about it this way. Whenever you have a bad feeling inside, you either want to go the opposite direction or you want to do something to almost overpower it and change it in a way where you don't have to. Simple ways people do this, and we'll talk in more detail in just a bit, but simple ways you might do this is think through last time. Perhaps you got in a fight with your sibling. Your parents were upset with you. You and a friend at school got into it in a way that you just didn't feel good. Did you want to, at the end of that, did you physically want to walk away? Did you get quiet? Did you shut down? Or perhaps a sibling did something mean to you and you wanted to yell at them. You wanted to be mean. Those are all examples of coping. How can I change a situation? How can I change a feeling so I don't have to feel low, but I can make myself feel better? In some of these ways, it's not as serious. It can almost be funny, like me trying to talk macho, even when I didn't need to, right? But some of these ways, it's really serious. It can hurt you, and it's hurt me. All right, so today, again, we're going to talk through two things. One, how does coping with your problems only bring you pain? And then two, how does clinging to God's promises bring you peace? Y'all with me? Yes? Come on. We're doing Survivor. We got some energy left. No? Like four of you. Cool. I'll take four. All right, turn with me now. Love that guy. Turn with me now. Ecclesiastes. All right, we're going to put it on the screen. If you can't spell Ecclesiastes, that's fine. I can't either. I had to look it up. All right? It's Ecclesiastes. Starts with an E-C-C-L-E-S. So if you got a phone, you got a Bible app, pull that up. E-C-C-L-E-S. It's in the Old Testament part. And if it's on your phone, you likely got to push a box that says 2. We're going to chapter 2. All right? Well, you guys are flipping there, selecting there, whatever you're doing, we'll still put it up here if you don't have that. I'll give you some of the context. This book was written by King Solomon, right? If you don't know King Solomon, he was the wisest man to ever live. He was a son of King David. You guys heard the story? David and Goliath. David, shepherd boy, takes on giant, right? He shows up, nothing but a slingshot and a rock. Throws a rock, boom, drills giant in the head. Down goes giant. David wins. David's king. Right? He's a man after God's own heart. This is his son. His son wrote this. He was the wisest and the richest man to have ever lived at that time. Right? And here's what he goes to say in the verses just before we're going to start reading. He's going to say, everything this world has to offer to have fun, joy, pleasure, money, status, power, ability, I have it. And I've done it. All right? So what he's setting up here is like, I was literally the coolest kid in the world. I had it all. Whatever I wanted was mine. Whatever I needed, of course. And in the room, I was the smartest. Right? He was a big deal. And we're going to talk about, even with all those things he had in life, he still tried to cope. Tried to cope the same way we do, and it doesn't work out well for him, right? So here, we're going to jump in. We're going to read these three verses, and then we're going to keep going. Starting there in verse 9. So I, again, this is Solomon. He's writing this. So I became great. I surpassed all before me who were before me in Jerusalem. So think through. It would be like he is the coolest kid at your school. He is the smartest. He is the most athletic. He has all the friends, everybody wants to sit with him at lunch. As cool as it comes, he had surpassed everybody in Jerusalem. Also, wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I didn't keep from them. Whatever he wanted, he got it. I kept my heart from no pleasure. For my heart found pleasure in all my toil. That just means his work, whatever he did. And this was my reward for my toil. And you start to see a shift here, where you see how he felt and the way that he coped. He says, then I considered all my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. Basically says, hey, then I looked at everything I'd accomplished in this life. And behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. So vanity. Who knows, what does vanity mean? It's kind of a tricky word. Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of vanity. It's like an arrogance. So think it's selfishness. It's trying to make everyone be impressed by it. But at the end of the day, you feel empty, right? You're trying to fill yourself up, but nothing's left. And he even describes what it feels like where he says, hey, it's like chasing after the wind. Has anyone here ever caught or captured the wind? Anybody? Anybody run really, really fast and you caught the wind? Yeah? Love to talk with you after, man. Right? Because here's what I'll tell you if you're raising your hand. That's not possible. All right? And that's exactly what he's saying. It's like chasing something that you can never get. You put it in your hands and it's empty. And that's where he's saying, I'd gone through every way of life trying to cope. I was left with vanity, chasing after the wind. And there's two primary ways folks cope. There's two ways Solomon would have coped. There's two ways we can cope. First one of those, it's avoidance. All right? Avoidance. And this looks pretty simple. It means withdrawing. You want to leave. You want to escape. You can do that physically. You could literally walk out of a room. Your parents get mad at you, and you immediately just walk to your room. You don't want to talk. A sibling yells at you, you shut down. You look like that. It can also look like getting in trouble at school, for example, and you come home. You don't want to talk about it. All you want to do is say, play video games. You escape into the world of fantasy. You feel low in life, so you go and cope. You try to feel better elsewhere. Another way that can take place is you can drink alcohol. Because when you drink alcohol, you can make yourself feel things that aren't true. You can do the same thing with drugs. It's just a form of escape. You can look at lustful images that you shouldn't. It's a coping mechanism. You're trying to fill an emptiness inside of you that can't be filled that way. You can do it from working too hard, right, to be the starter of a sports team. That doesn't mean trying hard in school or trying hard at sports, but that means saying, hey, I want people to notice me so much. I want to be great at whatever I do. Finding your identity there. Thinking too much about your body image and the way you look. Spending too much time on your phone. Looking at social media. Like, check this about yourself. Next time, say, for example, you and your friend, you guys argue. He wants to do something you don't want to do, or she wants to do something you don't want to do. At the end of that, when you feel bad, do you just immediately pull out a phone? Do you immediately want to look at Instagram to feel better? That's coping. That's when there's an emptiness inside of you. You're trying to fill with something else. I've done it. There's emptiness inside of me. I try to fill with something else. That's avoidance. That's probably, that would have been bad. That is probably the most frequent way people cope. The second way we cope, it's not by avoidance. It's by anger. It's by attacking. It's almost, if I can't leave, I'm going to bow up. And I'll attack you in that way. Some of the ways we can do that, like let's say a teacher calls you up to the board to do a math problem. I can remember this happened to me. And you can't do the math problem. You end up feeling embarrassed, right? So you go back, you sit at your seat, and then all of a sudden you're thinking in your mind about that teacher a bunch of negative things. You're making fun of her, making fun of him. As soon as you step out of the class, you grab your friends and you immediately begin to insult the teacher. You attack. Perhaps you gossip about a friend that wasn't as nice to you. You won't say it directly to them, but you'll say it about them behind their back. That's attacking. A sibling does something mean to you, right? Instead of rightly talking through it, rightly bringing in your parents to see what it looks like, you just get mad. You just start yelling. Your temper flares up. That's a way we cope. We cope by getting angry. We cope by growing in that. Now, here's some of the problems with these, right? And there's a bunch of problems with these, obviously, but a couple. So a problem with avoiding things, by coping through avoidance, by trying to leave. One, when you leave, your problem's still there. Y'all get that? You all know that to be true. If you get in a fight with a friend and you leave, the next time you see that friend, there's awkward tension. It just doesn't feel right, you know? The other thing that's wrong with when you just avoid or you leave is when you walk away from a problem, they have a tendency to grow. So what I mean by that, I call it the snowball effect, right? I know we live in Texas, we don't get to play in snow all that much, but what happens, right? If I create a small snowball and I put it at the top of a hill and I let it roll down, what happens to that snowball over time? Yeah, it gets bigger and it moves faster, right? So it just goes to show, the problem may have started small, but in the avoidance, it just grows. And as it grows, what does it make you want to do? Avoid more. So you spin out. Coping, you want to feel right inside, but you still left low. Anger, problem with anger and attack. What happens, and I've felt this way, if you feel like you're the problem, right? If the problem you feel like is you, you can turn inward. It can become self-hate, right? And that's where you can begin to emotionally tear yourself down. Spiritually, you lack all that God would intend you to be. And even at times, we can physically hurt ourselves. So here's all I'm trying to show you. Those don't work, all right? Those don't work. I'll give you an example from my own life. I switched schools growing up. In fourth grade, I went from a public school to a private school. And I went there, and then fifth, sixth, and seventh grade. For some reason, I honestly don't know why, I just got picked on all the time. And I'm not making that up. I just remember it was really hard for me. I asked my parents, can I switch schools? Can I leave schools? Can I do something else? I would just be standing at my locker. I wouldn't even do anything. Folks would just walk by, maybe because I was new, I don't know, and they just insult me right out of nowhere. So for a couple of years, I just tried to ignore it. I tried to avoid it. I coped by pretending like, hey, it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't bother me, even though I'd go home and my parents knew I was sad. I tried to cope by avoiding. But here's what happened. Seventh grade, I'm standing in my locker, and I've just hit this breaking point. And I'm putting a book in. The class hasn't even started. A guy walks behind me, and he says something crazy mean. And immediately, I just turned around, and I grabbed him by the shoulders, and I threw him to the ground in the middle of the hall. Right? I throw him to the ground. All of a sudden, boom, there's a circle around us. Next thing I know, I jump on top of him. Thankfully, I had a friend there. My friend, he grabs me, he pulls me off. Right? Here's the thing, because even some of us in here, we respond like, yeah, get him. Right? Hey, one. Well, hey, y'all, the story's going to go south. Let me tell you, though, like I grabbed him. He was scared of me. Well, let me tell you two things. I walked away still really sad and lonely. It didn't help, man. You see, I was trying to fill my heart with something, and it wasn't going to work. And the second thing, they didn't stop making fun of me. I was trying to solve problems in the wrong way. I was coping in the wrong way. It was an illusion. Do you get that? Illusion. It's just a fake front. That's all it was, because the only way you truly solve that is by clinging to Jesus. And that takes me to my second point. My second point today is, cling to the promises of God, and that will bring you peace. All right, so if you got your phones, we're going to one more section of the Bible. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. That's in your New Testament. So just click Romans on your phone, go to 8. We'll put it up here while you're turning there. The author of this one, he's telling Christians, he's telling those of us in this room who believe in Jesus Christ, he's saying, hey, here's how you live. Not in a way to where you try to cope with the worries of the world, but you walk in the Spirit of the Son of God. And he says to this, he says, hey, here's promises God gives you. Cling to them, and he'll carry you through. So I'm going to read this. We'll keep going. This is Romans 8, 31 through 34. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Remember that guy who made fun of me? In that moment, God was for me. He cared about me. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who should bring any charge against God's elect? That word there, it just means God's kids. That's all it means. It is God who justifies. Who then is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. So here, there's a bunch of promises in this passage, but a couple I just want to highlight. God's for you. He graciously wants to give you all things. He says no one can condemn you because in your eyes, if you believe, he's made you righteous. And then it even says this, God Almighty intercedes. That just means he prays for you. Do you know that God in heaven knows your name and he prays for you individually? So there's a bunch of promises in here, but if you were to summarize those, the way I think about it, a promise to cling to, in the eyes of God, you are enough. You are enough. So here's the way I think about this. Anybody here ever had a parent say to them, hey, I'm not mad at you, I'm just disappointed? Anybody felt that way? Yeah, me too, right? Okay, well, hey, all right, keep coming, because I gotta land this plane on time, right? So that's one of those where you end up feeling in that moment, you feel like a disappointment, that just means where you feel like you let them down. You were less than what they wanted, perhaps you were less than what they expected. Hey, this is huge. If you're a Christian, you cannot be a disappointment to God. Do you know that? Your sin can displease God, but you cannot be a disappointment to God. Because here's why. When God looks at you, regardless of what you've done, regardless of the way you try to cope, he doesn't see your sin, but he sees the spirit of his son. And when God looks at Jesus, he loves Jesus. And when God looks at you, he loves you. So instead of trying to cope with the problems of this world, that's a fake illusion. You're trying to fill a hole that can't be filled. Instead, we cling to the promises of God. You are enough. You are wonderful in his eyes. You have been made righteous and clean, holy and blameless, is how Scripture would describe you. You are a new creation. So in those times when you feel low, don't cling to something false. Cling to what is true. I am enough. So to summarize this, Jesus Christ, he doesn't want us to cope with our problems. He doesn't want that. He wants you to instead to cling to his promises. So when you feel low, you run to Jesus. How do we do that then, right? How do we do that? I know you guys were talking about, and sixth graders are going to be set up in them soon, but small groups before. This week, I'd encourage all of you, sit there. If you're in a small group, if not, get in one. Talk with your small group leaders. Hey, guys, here's how I try to cope. Here's what I do. I get in a fight with my sibling, and I want to leave. I feel like I let down my parents. I didn't get the grades that I wanted. I just want to jump on video games. Hey, my sibling bugs me so much, we fight all the time. Tell them, these are the ways that I cope. Here's how I do it. You got to know that about yourself. And then the second thing you got to do is you got to do everything Harris and Sean, all these folks tell you week after week. It sounds like a churchy answer, but y'all, it's true. You got to pray and you got to read your Bible every day. Here's why. Because instead of coping, we want to instead cling. But without prayer, without reading your Bible, you're not talking to God. So if you're not talking to God, how do you know what to cling to? How do you know what's true about you? Jesus Christ, he doesn't want you to cope, but he wants you to cling to him. Let me show you guys a picture. This is a friend of mine. We got that photo? Here we go. Y'all see this guy? Check that out. Y'all see that? That's a hole in his chest. Yeah, it's weird, right? His name is Reverend Evans. Reverend Evans. He lived at the turn of the 20th century. So think end of the 1800s, start of the 1900s. How he got that hole? I have no idea. I found this picture on Google. That's it, right? But here's what I want to show you. I want to ask you guys. Reverend Evans, do you think he wanted to cope with having that hole? Like he was insecure about that? Perhaps like he wore certain clothes? Maybe he avoided certain temperatures? Didn't play some of the same sports? Didn't run with the same people? He wanted to cope? Y'all think he would have done that? I think I would have too if I was him. But here's what's true, right? Here's what's true. And if we can, let's take down the photo. Everybody's just looking at that. Here's what's true of him. It's true of us. We may not have that same physical hole in our chest. But many of us, me, we have an emotional and a spiritual chasm, a hole in our chest. And we may not try to cope with it the same way he did, but we try to cope with it. Well, what if I wear this? What if I act this way? What if I play these games? What if I talk like them? What if I sit over here? What if I stop talking to them? What if I do these things? Maybe then my parents will stop fighting. we try to cope too, right? And so finally, just ending this, man, the only ultimate solution is clinging to the promises of God. The first promise you got to grasp is that he loves you and that he's for you. You can't grasp that unless you believe it. In order to have the promises of God, you're enough, you're wonderful, you're lovely, you're beautiful, you're pure. All you must do is believe. Let me pray that we do that. Father, I thank you for this group of young men, for this group of young women, and them just coming together, talking about you. Lord, we all try to cope. We have parts of us that just feel empty, and we want to fill it with all the wrong things. We confess that. Would you help these young men, these young women, to figure out the ways they do that specifically this next week? But God, instead of that, would they come to run, not necessarily to the clinging or to the coping, but to your promises? Would they see, hey, regardless how people treat them at school, regardless of the grades they get, you view them as enough if they believe. You view them as loved, wonderful, and righteous. Those are gifts worth clinging to, so may they do that. They can't do that apart from your Spirit. I can't do that apart from your Spirit. So we love you, Father, and we thank you. Amen. Amen.